KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, some light rain here in Atlantic. We look for these showers and thunderstorms to continue this morning and then fire up again later this afternoon with cloudy to partly cloudy skies in between. We'll have a high around 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Well, for the second time in less than 4 days, parts of eastern Nebraska and western Iowa have been pummeled by heavy rain and large hail. Storms that fired up early this morning in eastern Nebraska rolled into western Iowa, bringing rain ranging from anywhere from 1 to more than 3 inches and hail as large as baseball. Standing water blocked streets and council bluffs, where city officials asked residents in the Playland Park neighborhoods to stay in their home until the rain runoff had dropped to safe levels. There were no evacuations ordered, though. In Omaha, some streets just north of the downtown area were temporarily closed, and flooding inside the Missouri River levee prompted an evacuation of at least 2 industrial businesses. Golf ball-sized hail was observed in Omaha, while 2 to 3 inch diameter hail broke out several automobile windows in Bellevue, Nebraska. No injuries or deaths have been reported. KJAN News Time is 8:02.
Are you tired of missing your favorite shows because you're not home? Or do you find yourself scheduling your day around the show you watch? Well, not anymore.
Hi, this is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store in Atlantic, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer. With Dish Network's DVR feature, you can now record all of your favorite programs with just a push of a button. Even set your DVR to record every new episode of a show so you don't have to manually record it every time. You can also use your DVR with live TV, so when you're watching a sporting event or a movie and you miss a big play or something someone said, you can simply rewind and watch it again.
So if you have questions about what Dish Network's DVR feature can do for you, or if you want to find out how we can help you get one in your home, stop by the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give us a call at 243-3032 and let us be your Dish Network authorized retailer. Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
The father of an Atlantic native who died over the weekend while performing aerobatic maneuvers at an air show in Kansas City, Missouri, says his son was fascinated by airplanes ever since he was about 10 years old. 50-year-old Brian Jensen of Ponte Verde, Florida, was killed when the biplane he was flying crashed into the runway at the Wheeler Downtown Airport in Kansas City. The accident happened around 1:45 p.m. Saturday. Brian's father, Don Jensen, told WHO-TV in Des Moines that his son loved to fly ever since he took his first airplane ride. When Brian was 13, his father says he found a Learn to Fly coupon in the Atlantic newspaper. He took his first flying lesson for just $5, and he got that flying license before his driver's license. Family friend Gary DeGeest told the TV station that Brian would explain what it was like to feel the G-forces push him back into the pilot's seat and the effect it had on the body. Brian had more than 23,000 hours of flight time experience. His website, www.beastairshows.com, said that he soloed on his 16th birthday and as an adult flew jumbo jets for Delta Airlines. Jensen, who graduated from the Atlantic High School in 1979, had been a stunt pilot for the past 15 years. The accident, which claimed his life, took place in front of a stunned crowd of thousands on the first day of the Kansas City Aviation Expo Air Show. Brian's girlfriend, Cece, also flew stunt planes, and she had just finished her routine in Kansas City Saturday afternoon and witnessed the crash. According to eyewitnesses, Jensen's custom-built red biplane was performing aerobatic maneuvers, such as loops and spiral stunts, when it did a downward spiral but failed to pull up. The plane crashed nose-first into the pavement and burst into flames. The Kansas City Star newspaper said that as the crowd went silent, emergency crews headed for the wreckage and the show immediately was closed. But the performances resumed on Sunday. The Federal Aviation Administration and National Transportation Safety Board are investigating that accident. Airshow Director Ed Noyelis read a brief statement in the hangar after the crash. He said, "Our hearts go out to Brian's family and loved ones." He went on to note that aerobatic flying can be very dangerous, and although the public was never in any danger. Don Jensen said he wanted his son to be a farmer, but his love of flying was too powerful. Still, he was proud of Brian's accomplishments. Funeral services for Brian Jensen are currently pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. A pilot suffered minor cuts and bruises when his experimental plane made an emergency landing in a field of soybeans south of Waterloo over the weekend. Steve Hendricks of Mount Auburn said he heard something snap while flying Sunday afternoon. Hendricks says he looked for a place to land and quickly came down in the field. His plane nosed over onto its top as it came to a stop. The FAA will investigate that incident as well. Hendricks said he and another man have spent the past 8 years building single-engine planes. He said his can carry four people. The swollen Missouri River remains off-limits to boaters even as floodwaters recede. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources said boating won't be allowed until the river is back within its banks. Missouri River has been overflowing for months because of a heavy Rocky Mountain snowpack and a rainy spring. Flooding has forced residents from their homes, submerged thousands of acres of farmland, and rerouted motorists and trains. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has been reducing releases from upstream reservoirs, and the river has slowly been receding, but is expected to remain high well into this fall. In other news, a trial in the case of a Griswold woman charged with vehicular homicide is set to begin tomorrow here in Atlantic. 45-year-old Christine Annette Riedemann was charged with vehicular homicide and possession of marijuana following an investigation into a June 2010 accident near Atlantic that claimed the life of 44-year-old Katrina L. Christensen of Atlantic. Riedemann has waived her right to a speedy trial and will appear before the jury. Her trial begins tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. Earlier this month, Judge Jeffrey L. Larson denied the defense's motion to suppress evidence or testimony in the case. Riedemann was allegedly behind the wheel of an SUV that went out of control the evening of June 4, 2010. It was traveling west on Highland Road. The vehicle entered a ditch, hit a utility pole, and overturned. And both women were brought to the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic, where Christensen died from her injuries. The State Patrol says both women were wearing their seatbelts. Two separate blood alcohol tests each indicated Riedemann was above the legal limit to drive. She was also found to have allegedly been in possession of marijuana. A Nebraska woman has pleaded not guilty in connection with the 2001 shooting death in Iowa. A trial was ordered for 45-year-old Tracy Richter Roberts of Omaha, Nebraska, although no date has been set. Richter Roberts is charged with first-degree murder in the 2001 shooting death of 20-year-old Dustin Weedy. Richter Roberts shot Weedy, a family friend, multiple times in her home December 13, 2001. She told authorities that at the time that she and her three children were in the home when Weedy and another man broke in and attacked her. No charges were brought against Richter Roberts at the time, but the investigation was reopened in 2009. The woman was arrested last month and was being held in the Sac County Jail on $1 million bail. A telephone scam that cropped up in Iowa several months ago is resurfacing and reportedly cost a North Central Iowa man $25,000. Webster City Police Chief Brian Hughes explains how the scam works.
We've had numerous calls from citizens within the community that have received phone calls, people pretending to be their grandson or granddaughter, telling them that they are in need of money, either due to a variety of reasons. They were arrested, they were in some kind of accident in a foreign country, and they need money.
He says the scam might seem unlikely to succeed, but the con artists can be very convincing.
They'll actually have them talk to different people representing themselves as a police sergeant or a bail bondsman or someone in some type of official capacity, and have them have a grandma or grandpa wire the money to an account so their grandson or granddaughter can be released.
And Chief Hughes has advice for those who may receive this type of phone call.
We have had one person file a police report. It was for a large sum of money. And we've had several others call. A few we've had to plead with them to please call their grandson or granddaughter, check with them, check with their son or daughter to see what the situation is before they go ahead and forward any money.
And he strongly urges people not to give out any financial information to someone they don't know over the phone. The scam has been reported here in southwest Iowa as well. Most recently, this past June, the Cass County Sheriff's Office warned residents about similar calls residents had been receiving. The scam popped up about a year ago in this area as well. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a memorial to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. is opening this morning to kick off a week of celebrations ahead of Sunday's official dedication. The 30-foot-tall sculpture of King and a 450-foot-long granite wall sits between memorials honoring Presidents Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson in Washington, D.C. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the former leader of the International Monetary Fund, could be hearing the words "case dismissed" when he appears in a New York court tomorrow on sexual assault allegations. A person familiar with the case said prosecutors will tell Strauss-Kahn's accuser that a trial would be difficult because of her history of lies and a lack of evidence. Streets are flooded in Puerto Rico following an overnight visit from Hurricane Irene. About 1 million people are without power, but there are no reports of deaths. Forecasters say the storm is now targeting the Dominican Republic and Haiti and could affect the U.S. mainland later this week. The rebel capture of most of Tripoli is boosting hopes that the OPEC nation's oil exports could resume soon. Crude oil prices fell to near $107 a barrel today. Italy's foreign minister says Italian oil producer Eni is already working to restart oil and natural gas production from the country. And a spokesman for Libyan rebels say as long as Muammar Gaddafi is on the run, danger is still there. There are still pockets of resistance after the rebels say they gained control of most of the capital of Tripoli. NATO says it will continue airstrikes. News time is 8:11.
This is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV store in Atlantic. Are you considering making the switch to Dish Network? If so, give us a call. During the order process, you have many choices. You have a choice of receivers and programming packages. We have five packages under $50, and we offer free installation. The TV store has been your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer for over 10 years. We can explain the difference in all the receivers, programming packages, promotions, and installation options so you can make an informed, intelligent decision concerning your Dish Network purchase. The biggest advantage of dealing with the TV store is that you talk to the same person each time you call, someone who knows and cares about you. We are not just an 800 number. If you want personalized service before, during, and after the sale, call the TV store at 712-243-3032 or stop by and see us at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to order your Dish Network system today. Limited time offer, prices, packaging, program subject to change without notice, 24-month agreement required, cancellation fees, and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
And in our funeral announcements, 36-year-old Nick Halterman of Coon Rapids died Friday in Coon Rapids. A massive Christian burial service for Nick Halterman will be held today at 10:30 at the Annunciation Catholic Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. 81-year-old Elaine Miners of Manila died Thursday at the Manila Manor Nursing Home. A massive Christian burial service for Elaine Miners will be today at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. 86-year-old Loretta Grody of Harlan died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Loretta Grody will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 77-year-old Marjorie Emma Sothman of Griswold died Saturday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Marjorie Sothman will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. 69-year-old Joanne Harder Hulsibus of Atlantic died Saturday at the Creighton University Medical Center. Funeral services for Joanne Hulsibus will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. 90-year-old Catherine Earlmeyer of Manning died Sunday at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for Catherine Earlmeyer will be Wednesday at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. 67-year-old Darwin Andy F. Anderson of Greenfield died Saturday at his home. Funeral services for Darwin Anderson will be Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. 96-year-old Georgine F. Peters of Roanoke, Texas, and formerly of Harlan, died August 16th. Memorial services for Georgine Peters will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And 50-year-old Brian Donald Jensen of Pontevedra, Florida, and formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday in Kansas City. Services for Brian Jensen are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news this hour, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.